Hey, Latasha, how are you?
Just trying to figure out how to clap, Allie. How are you? Why can't we do that?
I don't know.
I know, right? We get it. We've been there. Beautiful, difficult, hilarious, and gut-wrenching. These are the stories and struggles of being a woman in today's culture and how we grow in the midst of trying to grow up.
IKR is hosted by Allie Patterson and Latasha Patrick and is a production of Crossroads Church of Cincinnati, Ohio.
Oh, the joys of trying to record in two different locations during a pandemic.
That's
hey,
right.
Speaking of joys. What?
What were you going to say?
You first. What were you going to say about joy?
I was just going to say, speaking of joy, is there anything that might be bringing you joy today that we should share with people who might be listening? What were you going to say?
Honestly, I've been having a very hard couple of days. And I have to, when that happens, I really have to intentionally focus on joy. Because it's always joy that it's that deeper stream. It's not happiness, right? So I would say to me right now, what I would choose to see joy in is that my family and my marriage are doing really well in the middle, even in the middle of a time that I think has been tough on most of us. I feel like we're in a strong place, and that's like a deep, joyful thing to see. So today, I have to go deep because I'm not feeling happy, I guess, is probably the best way to say that. What about you?
You know, well, first of all, I'll take that answer because to have a healthy family and a healthy husband, I mean, let's just be honest, that's a big deal. And so if that's the only thing that you can say that brings you joy, I'm actually pretty good with that.
Yeah.
That's a big thing. Yeah. I will tell you what's bringing me joy. So I do not have a green thumb, surprise, surprise. But in my COVID time, I've gone out to the nursery. I've planted a garden. No, I really haven't. But I went to the nursery this weekend and I walked past a bunch of trees and didn't notice them, but I could smell them. And I thought, oh my gosh, that smell, it is so familiar to me. And they were gardenias. And gardenias are plants that have these big, beautiful white flowers that typically what I know about them is that they bloom in San Diego, because that's where I'm from. Well, I was born in San Diego, raised in Las Vegas. But what it reminded me of was my grandmother's house, because in front of my grandmother's house was this big, big bush of gardenias. And so when we would walk up the path to go into her house, I could smell them. And I know that they do not grow here in the Midwest, but I asked the lady why they're here. And she said, well, you can keep them during the summertime, but you probably have to bring them in during the wintertime. And I thought,
oh, gotcha.
That'll never happen. They're going to die or whatever. But anyway, but I will keep them.
I will kill that thing.
However, for now, I'll keep them. And so I brought two of them home and I put them in pots. The other day, and I was getting something out of my car this morning. Actually, I was going to my car this morning, and I walked outside, and the first thing that I smelled were gardenias, and it totally reminded me of my grandmother. It was just about
really
the sweetest
sweet.
Thing. It was
that
super
is
sweet.
Really, so. Really sweet.
Yeah,
I have a childhood
really
smell. I have a similar to that is honeysuckle for me. I love the smell of honeysuckle. And when I was a little girl, just some of my very earliest memories formed when we lived in Tennessee. And there was a big tree line between our property and the next one. And in some of the spaces, there was honeysuckle that grew. And I just remember playing out there as a child. And I always loved the swing set and just playing out in the yard and stuff. And there was always the smell of honeysuckle because of a bunch of... And so anytime I run, especially when I'm out for runs, I'll run by like a hedge that has honeysuckle in it or something.
Yep.
And immediately I'm in Tennessee and I'm wearing the skirt that I wouldn't take off for like 6 weeks or something, you know, when
I love it.
A little girl. So that's honeysuckle for me.
It's amazing how certain scents can immediately take you back, hopefully to good memories. But I know at least for you and for me, honeysuckle and gardenia, those are good memories. So
yeah, they are for
sure. Super cool.
So we left off at figuring how do you test and know if God is speaking to you, are you up for continuing that conversation?
Yeah. Did you bring your wine
today? I did not. I keep forgetting it.
Yes. Okay. So no wine.
We brought up, we each talked a little bit about what we'd been experiencing during this pandemic and during the quarantines and restrictions we've been under. And we said, today we're going to talk about what are the ways that you can test and see if what you think you're hearing from God is really Him. And again, I said this last time, I say hearing in quotations, because for most people, we do not hear an audible voice. Yep. Sometimes it's thoughts, sometimes it's a scripture, sometimes it's a dream, sometimes it's all kinds of things, but we have to have a reliable way that we can test and see, because sometimes it's not, right?
Yep. Yeah.
So anyway, I was kind of poking at you because I like to ask people, like, how did you become certain? And I'm just fascinated because I love that God communicates with us. And I always want to know, how does He communicate with you? And what does that feel like and sound like? Because it's different. I think just like a friendship, it's different. You talk to friends differently, right?
That's right.
You talk to each of your friends a little bit differently. So I always love to hear that. So I think we each have a way, right, that we love. What's your first go-to?
So after I do want to give a caveat, because you said in air quotes, hearing from God. Mm-hmm. I just want those of us who may from time to time hear what we believe to be an audible voice. And that's the only way that I can categorize it. It sounds like a voice in my ear. It doesn't sound like a thought. I want to affirm those people, because I will say for years and years and years, people would give that caveat. And I would actually think that maybe I was not hearing from God. And so I just want to say that we can, and everything that you just said, and some people do hear in audible voices and some people don't, and some people hear through music. So I want to caveat that. And the way that I, confirm, right? That's what we're talking about. Like kind of the way that I can confirm whether I've heard the voice of God typically is, you know what? It's through my people, through my friends. I don't know if that is the way that you hear, but I will often, I think I told you, you know, I usually hear from God the very first thing in the morning. And this is not an always thing, but maybe by the end of the week, if I've heard the same thing over and over, some of my trusted friends, I am happy to call up and say, here's what I'm hearing. Here's what I'm thinking. Have you heard anything like that? What are you sensing about me? You know, of course, people that I know care about me, who pray for me, and, you know, things like that. And so those are the people that I kind of check in with.
Now, you would not do that with just any old friend. Like, what are the friend must-haves? If you're going to rely on them for some feedback on God stuff.
So, you know, that's interesting, because there have been, it's really interesting. And I do believe that you need to be careful. I know that I need to be careful when there is like a random human that I don't know well, who wants to confirm something that I've heard. And if that does happen, if it's just a random, like I've heard people say things like, hey, I had a dream about, I feel like I'm rambling. Sorry, you guys. I have heard people say just randomly out the blue. I had somebody come up to me actually and say something about Maya, and they didn't know me, not from like this or from what I do for a living or anything like that. It was just a super bizarre happenstance. And when that happens, I almost have to kind of look sideways and maybe assume that God wanted that person to say something to me. However, under any normal random circumstance, I would say the must-haves for people who I would listen and receive counsel from are people who I have a relationship with. So people that I talk to on some version of a regular basis, even in COVID times, people who I know my story and know me and care about me, and maybe even know stuff about me and they still like me. You know, those are the ones that I would likely depend on to hear and tell. And of course, people who I think have a relationship with God. I think that that's important as well for me.
So they know you and they know God, and you trust their heart toward you.
I definitely trust their heart towards me. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's big. 'Cause there are lots of people that I like that love God, but only some of them know me well enough to be able to connect all those dots. You know, there's like, I probably am more, I don't know, who knows? I was going to say I'm probably more extreme in this way, but maybe we're all very careful about our inner people. But I feel like there's really only a couple that probably know me and my history. Like, there's a lot of stuff that goes into that, you know, like what God's, if a friend has knowledge of what God has been doing in your life and they've been walking with you through a lot of that, man, that's a really valuable friend to take something to, because they can say, yeah, that's consistent, or wow, that's out of left field, or, you know, or don't you remember all these other things? They feel like that too. And I have a friend I do that with a lot, because she's just been around the block with me a whole big bunch of times.
Yeah. And so you would also trust what she would have to say.
I would. And I know her well enough to know when some of her stuff is maybe coming into play. Like, you know, we know each other well enough to say, oh, okay, well, you always say things like that, you know. I can do that too. So it kind of goes, it goes both ways. So I totally am with you on the friends thing, godly friends. I would say people that know God, people that love me, where there's that, you know, especially if there's a history and a shared connection there. And my go-to, if I'm trying to confirm, okay, I think I'm hearing something from God. For me, a lot of times hearing, I do say in quotes, because hearing, it's like a process of God revealing something repeatedly in little pieces, in different ways, in patterns and themes that kind of mix together in a period of time where I'm like, oh, light bulb starts going off. Like, this is God. He's trying to get my attention about something, right? Yeah. Sometimes I have definitely done the thing where I call it a bumper sticker. That's what, like, you have a phrase. I would call that my bumper sticker moments, where God talks in like a bumper sticker. It's like a phrase that just keeps ringing in my head. Totally has happened to me before. And the first thing I do go to friends, but I don't go to friends first. I first think, where in the Bible does this concept or idea, or even sometimes words or phrases, where does that show up? And sometimes if I have a bumper sticker where I feel like I'm really, like, clearly hearing a phrase, I will go to scripture and read any place that that word or phrase appears to try to understand the context that it appears in the Bible. So my first go-to is always the Bible. If I can encapsulate something in words, then I can work with, where does that thing show up in God's word? What's the context? What are the stories? Who are the people? And usually then he'll carry things on from there for me. It's almost like sometimes I feel like he's trying to drive me to that so that I can get a fuller understanding of what he's saying. And so I always go there first, because I feel like it's the most reliable for me. I feel like it's a place where I can connect with God and I can understand better. And I also know that if it's really the Holy Spirit, if it's really God speaking to me or trying to communicate, it will never contradict his word.
Yes.
So I think in many ways, a working understanding of just the what's in the Bible and what God's personality and commands and story is, I think when you have a decent working knowledge of that, it's super helpful to confirm what he may or may not actually be saying to you in your everyday life. Because I know one thing I know 100% for sure is what he wouldn't be saying. He would not be saying something that was contrary to his word in scripture.
So that's really smart. So what happens when you hear something that you know is not contrary to God's word in scripture? What do you do?
Yes. So then I would probably next go to friends. I would say, okay, here's what I'm hearing. Sounds like it's consistent with God's word, who he is, what he might want for me, what do you think? And that's when that's kind of probably when I would engage friends. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's super obvious and I don't even need to do that step. Like, mm-hmm. if we're talking about an issue of forgiveness, you know, or something just core to the character of God, I do not need to mine the Bible for that. I know that that is something he would care about. So sometimes it's just really obvious, but other times it's random. Like yours, close the chapter or end the chapter, close the book. That's not in and of itself in the Bible, but there sure are times where he gave people instructions to move on. Yes. Or he himself closed the book on someone. Like, that's and right. so that's what I would go and read about. Like, I'd read about, okay, when did God end a chapter for someone? How did that feel? What did that look like? Because I think that's helpful to get a beat on even how would God be acting? Like, what are the circumstances when he did that? There just could be some insight. So anyhow, that's probably my favorite first way. And then I'm with you. I go to friends, godly friends who know and love me.
So what do you think about the person who, I don't want to call it random because as I said, random and a little bit said it in a dismissive way, which I should not have. I think about a couple of seasons ago where we had a woman who did not know us very well, was connected to the community, pray about us and come back with beautiful art that I still have and probably mm-hmm. art that you still have. And so mm-hmm. that's a fairly random person, not all the way connected to us, right? Or not connected to me.
Yep.
And so like, how do you treat that kind of situation?
Well, in her case in particular, she really rooted a lot of what she was telling us in scripture. So for me, that's immediately going to make me feel like I can receive because I will always receive what's in scripture. At least I'll try mm-hmm. to be open to that. You know, sometimes it's unpleasant, you know, it'll convicting or whatever. But when somebody roots what they're advising me or trying to bless me with and they're rooted in that, I feel more comfortable receiving that. And then I would say beyond that, if it's not, because I've also had people come to me and say, hey, God told me to tell you this thing.
Mm-hmm.
I will absolutely listen to that. There, I would never discount. I just have such a big view of God's ability to reach us in so many different ways that I would never immediately discount someone who's saying that. But I also will not immediately receive it. I would take it. I would be thankful for it. And then I would put it through the ringer. I would take it to God in prayer. I would take it to the Bible. I would ask my friends. I would put it right back through that, you mm-hmm. know, that gauntlet because I cannot, I don't, I just think there's so many possibilities of what could be going on there. And if it truly is someone I don't know, I'm definitely going to consider it. And I'm also going to consider that it's not God.
Yeah.
And I just think we have to, in order to be mature in our faith, we have to consider both. And I think that is me coming a long way because there's at one point I was just so wide-eyed and excited that God would talk to me that I would take anything.
Yeah.
And I think over time God has gone, you know what? I want you to be grown up enough in your faith that you can get in the weeds and my friend gave me this analogy. I love this. You're going to love this. I did not know this, but he lived on a farm, so he knew this. He said, you need to be like a cow. When somebody tells you that God is saying something, you need to chew it like a cow. He said, cows eat, they chew everything. They eat everything, and they just
spit out
the side what isn't the thing they're supposed to be eating. And they don't make a big deal about it. They just go on to the next bite. And he was like, just be like a cow, just chomp, 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 and like spit out the thing that isn't right. Like, and he was like, you need the Bible, you need your friends. And I was like, oh, because it doesn't have to be a big thing. We're like, that is not the Lord. You know,
mm-hmm.
you can just boop. Nope. Not that.
You can say, thank you. Anyway. Chewing.
Yeah.
Spit it out. Exactly. That's awesome.
Exactly.
Very, very smart.
Hey, if you're listening to our podcast and you would like to know, how do I engage a little bit more in community? How do I grow a little bit day by day? How do I make this big community feel like a place where I can actually reach people like when I need them? you need the Crossroads app. There are all kinds of ways that you can engage in your own spiritual growth on a day-to-day basis. One of my favorites is to go in every day and there is one chapter of scripture that the entire community is reading and discussing together. If you want to do that with me, I journal in there almost every day. You can certainly see what we're reading and join the discussion, and you can also submit prayer requests. There's often spiritual growth exercises just so that you can grow and access community whenever you need it. I have actually been in the middle of my day and gotten a ping on my phone that someone just prayed for me. If you want to be encouraged like that, right smack in the middle of your daily life, then you need the Crossroads app. Go get it, and I'll see you there.
I have been considering something about God for a year or so. And I'm about to add this to my list of how do I know when it's God speaking or the Holy Spirit moving or pushing or communicating to me. I'm going to throw in, it requires risk. Now, I will not say that the actual communication doesn't, but a lot of times what it will push me toward requires risk. And I think there's a reason for that. And the reason for that is that underneath faith, a real faith, is always the willingness to take a risk on God. And so I'm not going to go so far as to say anytime he has ever spoken to me, that's a criteria, you know, that always results. But I will say, if it's a theme, if it's a big thing in your life, if it's an issue that God wants to push, I just feel like it's an element that I need to be on the lookout for, because it can tell me, oh, I think sometimes our instinct is to discount things that might require us to be uncomfortable or take risks and stuff. And so I just want to throw that out there and say, I actually think the opposite might be true. I think if you find yourself staring at something that might look like a risk, you might want to double back and consider that might actually be an element of how God moves us. Because I usually think he's trying to build our muscles of faith, which nearly always require risk. So again, I wouldn't go so far as to say I think that that's a criteria for whether or not he has spoken. I just think a lot of times when he speaks, it'll push me in that direction. So, yeah.
Anyway. I mean, I would ask you to find me a story, and I'm sure there are stories. But I would ask you to find me a story in the Bible where a character did not have to do something risky to follow God.
Right.
Or Jesus in the Bible.
Agreed.
I'm sure there are, but I know that you, you know, coming off your master's in divinity and whatnot, I bet you would know far better. I'm going to plug that forever because I'm super proud. I'm not being funny. I'm actually super proud and excited for you. So.
What I wanted to say to you is I wrote my final research project on faith and on the faith of the patriarchs. And you are 100% right there. I mean, there I can think of some stories that you could say are based on faith that don't require risk. But I would say predominantly the underlying thing when faith is involved has to do with God pushing us toward risk, because he wants us to know and trust him. And sometimes in order to get there, we got to go. Anyway, maybe your next chapter, since you're closing the book on your, or closing the chapter or the book, whatever the heck he's saying to you,
whatever,
maybe it's going to require you to take some risks. Who knows?
I would look forward to it. I have a thought around, I have a thought around something. So You'll hear this and you'll be able to articulate it faster than I can. I think about like people who train, like I think about a football player. I don't know why I'm thinking about football players, but I am. The Rock. Let's just say I'm thinking about The Rock, okay? So I'm thinking about football players, and they train for the game, and then 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 it's the off season and they still train. And the next thing you know, they have a game. And so part of what I think I'm starting to realize is that when you talk about training and staying ready for whatever, it's not just for one thing. there is always a something that's happening. And so there's some element of training that always needs to happen. So you say that smarter than what I just said.
Well, the only way I can say it smarter is to say it with the Bible. 2 Timothy 4 says, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage one another with great patience and careful instruction. I agree. I really agree. I think so many times we make the mistake of thinking we're waiting for the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe there's a thing coming. There's usually a thing coming, but we're also in another thing. So
that's right.
You know, we're in season and we're out of season probably at once.
And I wonder if I have lived my life having just kind of realized this. Have I lived my life thinking, oh, I ran the race. It's over. We're good. No more. Like, I just wonder if I've done something to my life, if I've shorted myself because I didn't realize that after that race, guess what? It's another one coming up.
Yep.
And so I'm just starting to wonder.
And you've already been
wonder.
Training for the next one and you didn't even that's, know it.
That's right. That's right. And yeah. So I'm just wondering that, you know, anyway, those are the thoughts that go through my mind in the morning. So
well, I don't know, maybe you know that's me, something. I can always talk about a good race, and some good training. That's
right. Seriously.
That's my wheelhouse. I'm happy to
yes.
talk about that. So,
all right.
Yeah. So until next time.
I'll see you with some wine.
With you. Yeah.
I'll see you with that wine.
The ever elusive bottle of wine.
I'm sending you a bottle.
All right.
See you, girl.
See ya.
IKR is a production of Crossroads Church, Cincinnati, Ohio. We always love to hear from our listeners, so drop us an email at ikr@crossroads.net, or you can find us mostly active on Instagram at @IKRpodcast. Our music is thanks to Mae Klingler, and you can find more from her at mayklingler.com or on Spotify or iTunes. You won't be sorry you did.